Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10 says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." The first fruits of the harvest are first mentioned in the Bible in this verse, but the prophetic aspects of the first fruits are developed in the New Testament book of Revelation. Who are these first fruits mentioned in Revelation 14, and who is the priest to whom they will be brought before the terrible hour of the great tribulation? Ed Marks is with us today as we consider the rapture of the believers. Welcome back, Ed. It's been too long.
Well, Chris, it's a pleasure to be back, and I think this program will really help us, Chris. I think all of us believers, we really have the feeling that the Lord's coming is close, and we want to be those who are ready for his coming. We want to enjoy him and live in his presence in this age so that we can be raptured and taken into the fullness of his presence for his satisfaction.
And that's really the principle of the first fruits, isn't it, Ed?
Exactly, Chris. The first fruits, of course, we know with a harvest, when a farmer harvests his crop, he waits for those first fruits, and those first fruits come into his house and are for his particular satisfaction. This is what we want to be to the Lord. We want to be the first fruits for his enjoyment.
Ed, we have a couple of programs that are somewhat inserted here in this life study of Revelation. Yesterday, we had a wrap-up program, really, for the first section that ends with chapter 11, and now we're about next week to begin chapter 12 through the end. But this insertion is somewhat devoted to this matter of rapture. It's a topic that is obviously extremely popular, very controversial. How many hours of discussion go on each day among believers over this topic? There are different points of view as to how this matter works out, and we have spent a lot of time trying to give our listeners a good perspective on Witness Lee's interpretation, which was based on Watchman Nee's interpretation, and there is some historical background to that. But we realize this is not the most common thought concerning the rapture. So I thought as we begin today, you could give a quick summary of the major teachings related to the rapture.
You know, mostly all the believers know that eventually there will be something called the Great Tribulation, which the Lord prophesies in the Gospels. And this Great Tribulation will be the last 3.5 years of this age. And this, of course, Antichrist will be on the scene. And this will be a time of great suffering and great calamity. The rapture is related to 3 different schools. Some expositors believe that all the believers will be raptured before the tribulation. Others believe that all the believers will pass through the tribulation and be raptured after the tribulation. Then there's a 3rd school, which we can call the partial rapture school. This school believes that there are 2 separate raptures, the rapture of the overcomers before the tribulation and the rapture of the majority of the believers at the end of the tribulation. I think what we'll see in this broadcast is that the school of partial rapture is the scriptural school. Knowing this, we want to be the overcomers who don't have to pass through that great tribulation. And Chris, one thing we have to realize as believers, no matter what we believe, we shouldn't allow these different interpretations to divide us. The point we want to make is that we need to pursue Christ, love Christ, enjoy Christ, and experience Christ today so that we can hasten his coming. Chris, one thing that always touches me, when the bride has made herself ready, the husband comes on the scene. It's just like a human marriage. When the one who's marrying the couple says the bride is ready, then the groom comes out so that the bride can come down the aisle and marry the groom. We need to be Christ's bride. When we get ready, we get filled with him, he will come back. This is what we want.
Ed, I really appreciate the focus that you have set before us. We're not focused on our differences on how this great matter is interpreted differently among believers. Our focus is that we would be those genuine lovers and seekers of him who are really a bride prepared and adorned for her husband. Ed, we opened the program with the Old Testament reference to the first fruits in Leviticus. And I thought it'd be good maybe we read the reference in Revelation 14, where the first fruits are mentioned there. And this is verse 4. It says, "These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb." As you mentioned, we saw very clearly yesterday, as we wrapped up these first 11 chapters, that the majority of the believers are raptured at the seventh trumpet, which concludes the Great Tribulation. But here we have the first fruits, another group raptured at another time according to another promise. So let's join Witness Lee.
The rapture of the saints in the past 1.5 centuries has really been a bothering to so many seeking Christians. After many years consideration, study, and observation on this one thing, the rapture of the saints, I could present you in a very simple and clear way. According to the pure word of the Bible, in the Bible, there are two aspects of the rapture. It doesn't mean that there will be only two raptures. No, I mean two aspects. One aspect is the rapture of the overcomers. The other aspect is the rapture of the majority of the saints. With the rapture of the overcomers, there are at least two raptures. Not just one rapture of the overcomers. One group is the man-child, and the other is the first fruit. And the man-child is the dead overcomers and resurrected. The first fruits are the living overcomers, the never past death. But the man-child, they have past death. These are considered as the raptures of the overcomers. This is one aspect, you may say, one category of the raptures of the saints. Then there's another category. Another category is the rapture of the majority, which is considered in this book as the harvest. In Leviticus chapter 23, there is a kind type of the rapture. That is, in the field of God's people, some crop will mature earlier. And those earlier mature crops are considered as the first fruit. The first fruits are always brought not to the barn, always brought into the temple of God. In the field, not many, but a few will mature earlier. And these first fruits will be brought to the temple of God, that means to the house of God, for God's enjoyment. This is a type. The field is God's people. And the first ripe ones will be the first fruit, and which will be brought to God's temple in heavens directly. Then the sunshine will become stronger to make them all ripe. Then all the field will be ripe, then you will have the reaping time. That will be the harvest. And the harvest will all go to the barn. Where is the barn? In the air. The barn is the place to store the harvest. But the first fruits will not be brought in the barn to be stored there. It will be brought into the house of the farmer for the farmer's first taste.
Yeah, this analogy of the rapture to a harvest is magnificent. What a clear picture that the Bible presents. This is not the common view most normally presented on this topic, is it?
No, Chris, and like you said, this matter of looking at the rapture with the vision of the harvest of a crop is very meaningful. You know, Chris, just to amplify on this, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, this verse says, "We are God's farm." And in Matthew 13, the Lord tells a parable of a sower going out to sow seed, which shows that he sowed himself as the seed of life into our being. And now he's growing in us. Well, with this in view, we need to give the Lord a way to grow in us day by day so that we can become a mature, ripened crop. When we're fully ripened, the Lord will harvest us. And we know, and we pointed this out, that when a farmer has a crop, he waits for those first fruits, and he brings those into his house for his enjoyment. Then he has a general harvest where he harvests the rest of the crop. We want to be those first fruits who are for God's satisfaction, just like the first fruit is for the farmer's satisfaction. You know, Chris, it's very meaningful in Revelation 14. You have the whole thing displayed in the way of a vision. In the first five verses of Revelation 14, it shows the living overcomers being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Then, beginning in verses 6 through verse 12 or 13, it talks about the great tribulation. Then in verses 14 through 16, it speaks of the Lord harvesting the majority of the believers. So even by Revelation 14, you can see that the believers who mature in life earlier, they get harvested earlier, they go to the third heavens, which is the Lord's temple in the heavens, so that the Lord can enjoy them in a particular way. Now, Chris, I would just like to say this in a practical way. This shows that we need to give ourselves to grow in life. Every day we should pray, "Lord Jesus, grow in me. Grant me this day's growth in the divine life." And Chris, just as these first fruits are for God's satisfaction, we need to be people who are for the Lord's satisfaction. When someone marries someone, especially a bride, she is just for her husband. If she really loves the person she's marrying, she is just for him, not for what he can give her. She is for his satisfaction, for his happiness. And in Revelation 21, it says that we will eventually be prepared as a bride adorned for our husband, Christ. As the bride of Christ, we're just for our husband. When we have him and we have his presence, we have everything. So I think day by day, we need to tell the Lord, "Lord Jesus, I love you. Constrain me with your love to love you in a fresh way, and I want you to grow in me today." Then we will be prepared to be his overcoming first fruits.
Ed, all of these things that you just enumerated are marvelous things, very positive. I think a fair treatment of this, what keeps us from becoming an overcomer? There are some things that pull at us and draw us down, and they're referred to in Luke, particularly chapter 21. Witness Lee will touch a few of these in this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
There is the need of the rapture of the overcomers. A snare on all the earth's dwellers is coming. You all know a snare. Just like the fishers spreading a net. And that net eventually becomes a snare to the fish. Satan is a fisher. Today he is spreading his net to snare all of us. This is the word of the Lord in Luke 21, 34 through 35. And what is the snare, dear ones? Three things. Surfeiting, that means what? Eating. Drunkenness, that means what? Drinking. And the care of this life. Eating, drinking, and the care of this life. I tell you, the whole world today, especially today after the Second War, people on this earth, they don't care for anything but care for three things. What? Eating, drinking, and the care for this life. What does industry mean? Industry means care for this life. What does finance mean? Finance means care for this life. all the universities are for industry. And the industry is for money. And the money is for care of this life. You look at today's situation. Billions of people living on this earth just care for their life. So they must go to make money. And then in order to have the best industry, they need the best knowledge, so they have the best colleges, universities. And they have to manage the situation, so they have politics. And they have to fight for the market, so they have the army, the forces. Eating, drinking for care for this life. These are the three main elements of the devilish snare used by Satan to snare all the people on this earth.
Ed, as you and I were just remarking, not just the content, but the spirit that he was exercising there was so strong. He spoke this in 1976. That's nearly 25 years ago now. But we would have to say, looking at the situation in the world, the appetite for these three primary items that Satan uses to snare us is even greater today than when he spoke this, isn't it?
It really is, Chris. And I think today the cares for the things related to our physical life has been intensified. People are just totally occupied with eating, drinking, and the anxieties of life, occupied totally with how they can take care of their physical life. You know, Chris, as believers, on the one hand, we shouldn't be occupied with the affairs of this life. We need to pursue the Lord, love the Lord, enjoy the Lord. On the other hand, it's something we still need to be responsible to take care of our living and our needs. You know, in Matthew 24, verses 40 through 42, it's very interesting. It says that two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one will be left. This shows that with the two men, they were in the field, they were laboring. But one of them, even though they were laboring, one of them was not occupied with the affairs of this life. His living did not become a snare to him. His heart was occupied with the Lord. So he was taken. In the same way, the woman, they're both grinding at the mill. They're both working, but one is occupied with the affairs of her life. The other's heart is occupied with the Lord, how she can please the Lord while she's taking care of her responsibility. This is the way we need to be, Chris. You know, at the end of Matthew 24, it talks about an evil slave who thinks that the Lord's coming is delayed and who eats and drinks with the drunken, who keeps company with worldly people and enjoys what they enjoy. We don't want to be that kind of slave. We want to be the Lord's slave who is faithful and prudent. That means we contact the Lord every day, we enjoy the Lord every day, and we feed others with Christ day by day. Then the Lord will rapture us in an early way for his delight.
Let's join Witness Lee once again.
We are here waiting for the Lord. Amen. Who will take us away before all the things coming. So the Lord has given us the promises. The promises says this, be content worthy. This is the phrase used in Luke 21:36. This phrase in Greek has two meanings. Number one, to be accounted worthy. Number two, to be fully strengthened. Because you are fully strengthened, so you are accounted worthy. Be fully strengthened to do what? To escape all these things. What things? The snare. The snare. And to stand before the Son of Man. We know before the Lord comes back, he as the Son of Man is there in the third heavens. And the overcomers, according to Luke 21:36, will be standing before the Son of Man. This means what? They will be raptured to the presence of the Lord in the heavens. This is the promise in Luke 21. Well, the snare is coming. We have to be fully strengthened to escape the snare. If you have some knowledge of the fishing, you can see some stronger fish. They know how to escape the net. They are fully strengthened to escape the snare. And they are also fully strengthened to stand in the presence of the Lord in the heavens. This is a promise to be raptured before the great tribulation. This is the promise to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3. Keep you out of the hour of trial. This one verse says, the Lord will keep them, the overcomers, out of the hour. Not only out of the trial, but out of the hour. This means what? This means before the time of tribulation comes, the overcomers will be kept away. So this indicates that the rapture of the overcomers will be before the great tribulation.
Ed, we began with your recap of the major schools of thought, those that believe the tribulation is before, those that believe the tribulation is after. Really, when you put all of these pieces together, the only comprehensive way to understand this is that there must be a progressive or partial ongoing kind of rapture.
Yes, Chris, I think we've seen from this broadcast, it's not only scriptural to see that the overcomers get raptured before the majority of the believers, but it is also quite logical. Just as in a harvest, you have the first fruits and you have the general harvest. We want to be the overcomers who ripen early for the Lord's satisfaction. And thank the Lord, Chris, that we can be saved from the hour of trial. We can be raptured before the great tribulation. Chris, I would just like to mention again that if we're going to be raptured earlier, going to be as overcomers, we need to give ourselves, allow the Lord to grow in you day by day. Even right now, as you're listening, you can pray, Lord Jesus, grow in me. Every day, we should say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I like to gain you. I like to be filled with you. Have a time to pray every day. Have a time to be in his word every day. Also, Chris, whatever we gain of the Lord, we should share with others. We should feed others with Christ. When the Lord comes back, when he finds us doing this, we will be his overcomers who will be raptured early for his satisfaction. Chris, I'd just like to close by encouraging all our listeners to get the life study of the book of Revelation. You know, there are so many details that we can't cover in this short broadcast, and this is a marvelous opener of the book of Revelation. You know, I'd just like to tell you, my mother, she's 81 years old, and she hasn't read much of Brother Lee's ministry, but she's staying with us now, and she is reading through the life study of Revelation, and she's enjoying it to the uttermost. So I would encourage all of you to purchase this life study. It will change your life and open your eyes to see God's heart's desire in these last days.
You know, Ed, we do our best to find what we consider to be the crystals out of each of these messages, but many times there's more crystals than we're able to touch, and obviously many times we're not able to do the crystals we do pick much justice. So I just would like to echo your recommendation. It's an invaluable resource for anybody who wants to get into this book and see it in the realm of life and building. Thank you, Brother Ed.
Well, Chris, you're welcome. I hope to come back soon for another broadcast.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that, Ed. Join us again. We'll have another program covering this matter of the rapture. For Ed Marks today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.